Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the CONCACAF Gold Cup USA post-match show, the United States with a 1-1 draw against Panama. Apparently, this is the third or fourth consecutive 1-1 draw between these two sides. And you know what? Once again, everybody, this is the B team of the United States. No one from the main qualifiers are playing in this one at the moment until they qualify out of the group stage into the quarterfinals. And because we do have some A and B squad members here, of course, I like to bring on Chris Gluck from the Yellow Card Podcast and brand new to the 40 Seas Fire American Soccer Show. And, of course, we always encourage ladies, women that love the game, that want to report on the game, to just follow your dreams, follow your passion, and please do so. Joining me and Chris right now, Miss Silvana Budensheim from MLS Female. She does cover the New York Red Bulls for MLSfemale.com. Ladies first, of course. And Silvana, how did you like this match? What were the things that you didn't like about this match? Did you feel the 1-1 result was fair?
I really did like the 1-1 result, actually. I think we have to go in, establish ourselves, let the these newcomers come in, make their names, and go for it and try to earn that spot in the quarterfinals. So there's at least that. It didn't look pretty. You know, I kind of decided that it was a tub of margarine when we wanted a pound of butter. You know, that it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I was looking for. But I'll take it.
You know what? That's the best analogy I've ever heard. That's fantastic.
I was going to say something about it being like meatless, but no. Like, I'm cool with vegetarians. Like, that's not the analogy. The analogy is I wanted something real and, you know, and not manufactured, but that's what I got, you know?
No, that's fine. That's absolutely brilliant. I think that's the best thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And you know what, Silvana, you nailed it. But Chris, let's go to you. You know, do you agree with Silvana's opinion there? Okay. Because I do agree. It's only the B side.
Well, you know, in as much as I like the analogy, I think it fits better if Lijah, how do you pronounce it?
Lehigh.
I think it plays better if Lehigh, Hedges, and Miazga are on the pitch, as well as maybe Will Trapp, who's not even in the side, because we already know what Beasler, Gonzalez, and Zusi offer. And I'd kind of almost offer that McCarty's too old to be there. And Bedoya, we know what he offers. So, and they are A team players, if you will, apart from McCarty in the past, as well as Guzon too. So, you know, I think it was kind of 40% kind of new and 60% kind of old. And, you know, I likened this game to Germany and the Confederations Cup at the end of my tweet session for the game. And to me, the Gold Cup, from a new player standpoint, is critical. And I think that's where, Silvana, you nailed it. You know, we got to see some new faces, but I'm of a mind that you need to see more, not less. because this mix is never ever going to play in a World Cup together. Whereas if you put on Lehigh, Hedges, Miazga, Will Trapp or Areola, and maybe Hamid or Johnson, it's possible that that group could see World Cup type qualifying action. Maybe not in a year or two, but maybe after World Cup 2018. So why not get them bled now? So that's where I'm at, Daniel. That's a bit of a long story, but that's kind of for starters.
No, that's fine. So, and I got to tell you guys, but let me just say this there, Chris, and Savannah, you can answer this one. I think we saw the best and the worst of Kellen Rowe, because while he did find a way to recollect that ball to find Dom Dwyer, who scored a fantastic goal, no doubt about it, Dom Dwyer did a fantastic job converting that shot. How he collected the ball back from the Panamanian defender and found Dom in great position to at least get the shot off, I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant play there. But then we saw the worst of him, where I understand that the Fox commentators kind of went towards, well, Dax lost the ball. True, he did, but I didn't think that led to the goal. I think the problem was that when you have Kellen Rowe defending or helping the back four, where he's on the near side of the end line, he didn't have to go down. He didn't have to go to ground to try and slide tackle the ball away. I thought that was a poor decision from him, and it led to a great initial save by Guzan, and we'll talk about Brad Guzan in a minute. But on Rowe, I felt that was not necessary. So he's got a plus and a minus in this game for me. What do you think about that, Savannah?
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about him at this point, you know, because, as you know, I follow the New York Red Bulls, so I'm looking at my Dax McCarty's, I'm looking at my Michael Amir Murillo, who's out for the Panamanian team. Kellen Rowe, you know, you can't have both. You can't have the plus and the minus and expect to keep going. You know, where does that put us? And, you know, the woes of the back line for the U.S. national team have been the storyline for too long. You know, we can't have that sort of breakdown in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know, Chris, you've been talking about that back line a lot, obviously, Beasler, Gonzalez. I mean, let's be honest, if it wasn't for Guzan making a couple of big saves there, obviously, unfortunately, the rebound was left there by the defense after Guzan makes a great save. They allowed that equalizing goal to go through. But still, though, what's your opinions about Kellen Rowe on that one, Chris?
Well, you know, I'm probably not in the bandwagon that's going to put blame on Kellen, although I never like it when a player leaves their feet, because then the game becomes 11-on-10. And Powell has always been a good example of leaving your feet with the Timbers. But I put that down to lack of playing time together and knowing where and when to position yourself based upon when the opponent breaks you down. And that kind of gets back to, okay, well, where was Villafania 1? Well, I think he had ended up being pulled inside, so Rowe had to track. And I think if you got better communication, like if you had Villafania and Nagby out there together playing on the left side, I think you'd have had better team communication. So, Rowe's at fault from my perspective for leaving his feet. But, you know, the miscommunication across the back four comes a lot from players not playing together in understanding how each will respond based upon positional attacking by the opponent. So that's what I put that down to. And to me, this gets back to the point that I want to drive home, I think, but and be redundant about, is if you're going to have the opportunity to make mistakes and learn from them, then do it with players that you're expecting to be World Cup ready maybe not in 2018, but 19, 20, 21, etc. So that's where Miazga and Hedges come in, not Beasler and Gonzalez. As a head coach, I'd rather those two have these communication issues now in a Gold Cup that really means nothing, like the Confederations Cup for Germany really means nothing. It's just preparation for the World Cup. So that's where I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys there. And, you know, that's one of the things I think that Bruce Arena is looking for. And while you're using this Gold Cup for players that normally don't get an opportunity for the national team, can they gel quickly enough in this shortened, obviously, a couple of days here and there, only having one friendly against Ghana? And sometimes in a friendly, you don't see all the mistakes that are probably magnified to a level when you get to a tournament. Fine, secondary nature like the Gold Cup is, and then you wonder who's going to make that push to be on the World Cup qualifying roster or even a World Cup roster if you qualify for it. And Silvana, just to see what we have seen so far, I think there's a couple of standouts we've seen at the moment. Obviously, Kellen Acosta is one of those that are probably he probably might have a roster spot ready for him. But I thought we saw not so much that he played poorly. It's just that it just seems like Panama just were maybe a step quicker than some of the guys were for the USA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was looking at too. And just it just felt like every time the ball was getting towards the attacking third for the U.S., Panama was just there. They were all in. And they're taking it seriously. They were taking this game seriously, and really wanted to show that they're ready to go toe to toe with the U.S. and any other team that comes along.
And Chris, you want to know who else they wanted to go toe to toe with? Graham Zuzzi. He's the guy. He is the guy where the USA had nothing to play for. Mexico was absolutely getting ready to be eliminated for the World Cup for the first time ever. And if it wasn't for Zuzzi with the equalizing goal in Panama, saving Mexico's qualifying lives to go into the playoff against New Zealand, I mean, it looks like every Panamanian player wanted to take him out.
Yeah. That's quite unkind, actually. But, you know, this kind of, again, I'm going to be redundant because I think it's critical. Zusi and Bedoya on the right offered nothing of creativity, I thought, that was fresh. Everything they did is everything you would expect them to do, which means the head coach from Panama knows what's going to happen. And what happened is what happened. And, you know, basically they shut down the right side. Sure, there are crosses. But, you know, and Bedoya had one flicker of a great touch. And then, you know, he completely lost his positional play against, I don't even know who the defender was. But the fullback, you know, played 50-50 on him, and Bedoya was down. And, you know, you kind of wonder, was he down that easily because his legs were tired? So I'm just going to leave it at that. So the U.S. men's national team going forward, and I think Arena offered, you know, you got to play quicker passes, you got to play quicker balls, we need quicker movement. And, you know, okay, so that's a good thing. But if you don't have the players on the pitch, I think Rowe and Dwyer showed the best first touches of the front six today. And if you don't have a majority of those front six showing great first touch capability, then playing quicker passes is going to do exactly what happened. You're going to turn the ball over in midfield. You're going to be in disarray, you're going to have poor communication, and you're going to give up a goal.
Yep, you're very true about that. Just to let everyone know right now, Martinique and Nicaragua, the players are now walking on the pitch, getting ready for the national anthem, the starting lineups being introduced, as this is the other game in Group B right now. Currently, USA and Panama have a point each. So at the moment, depending on what happens after this match ends, after the full 90, will we have everyone at a draw, or will we have someone win and lead the group, even though it's going to be kind of early and it's not a big deal at the moment, because right now we're seeing a team like Martinique, an unknown side. Obviously, they are a part, or at least a department of France. They use their national anthem. Their players are allowed to be a part of the French national team. And, of course, we've had that little incident with French Guiana. And we'll talk about that in a minute towards the end of the matchup. So there we have it right now. Okay, now it's time to address the white elephant in the room. Obviously, it's Chris's favorite topic in keepers. So let's go ahead and talk about Brad Guzan. And, Silvana, I think while Guzan gets tons of stick from everybody, and look, rightfully so, I don't think he's had enough potential to be the guy that you would hope would lead a national team to victory. I thought in this match today, outside of the rebound being put home, I thought Brad Guzan actually made several fantastic saves that kept the USA either alive when it was 0-0 or when they were up a goal.
I was Team Brad a long time ago, mm-hmm. as far as if that big toss-up between Howard and Guzan, and Klinsmann was putting them back and forth and back and forth, and you didn't know for sure who was going to get the spot. At the time, I was like, I'm going with Brad Guzan. I think he's got it. He's in Premier League, he knows what he's doing. He's done some great things for us. Maybe Howard has had his time, and that is time to move on. It hurts, really, when I see the mistakes that he makes. And today, you're right, he was out there, and he kept everything together. He was able to make some great saves, and I can't even fault him for the rebound goal that Panama was able to make. But I want to see more. I want to see that he's really leading that defense, making those choices, making the decisions that keep the ball out of the net. And I'm worried. I get worried now seeing whether or not he's going to do that.
Well, let Chris, if you want to, the first big save he made when he dove to his left and pawed out the low hard shot. And how does Panama not cash in on that rebound to make it 1-1? Because let's be fair here, that rebound does not get, if that rebound doesn't go over the crossbar at point blank range, I mean, that's 2-1 Panama, and they are leading the group.
Yeah. When I poked about Guzan the last game, I think if you recall, the one thing that I offered was positionally, he's always been a sound keeper. Mm-hmm. He makes that free kick save if he's 3 inches taller because his mm-hmm. arm stretches out another 3 inches. So mm-hmm. I think his positional play was strong this game. And it usually is strong. And I think he can take some confidence away as a build-up as a result of this game. I don't put any fault of any of those, of that goal, or any of those shots at the foot of Guzan at all. I thought he had a good game. But, okay, so... And Silvana, I understand your take and applaud your confidence in Brad. I mean, two or three years ago, I was kind of the same mind that he ought to be the backup keeper to Howard and then replace Howard. But, in the last 2 to 3 years, okay, now I've seen Guzan. I know what he offers in an international game. And I don't know what Johnson or Hamid Or I think Kardik mentioned Bingham. Was that
David Bingham from San Jose. Yep.
I don't know what he offers, and I don't know what Jesse Gonzalez offers at the international level. So, you know, it kind of goes back to, okay, the Gold Cup is a predetermined playground for World Cup qualifying players. So if I already know what Guzan offers, I'm not learning anything with Guzan starting. And training is training. It's not the game. It's not the lactic acid buildup. It's not the tension, the stress, the pass or fail kind of environment that you have in a game like the Gold Cup tournament. So I'm still of the mind, even with Guzan, that I'd rather have seen another goalkeeper out there.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Silvana? Who would you like to see? Go ahead.
I wanted to see Johnson out there. I thought that because I've seen what he can do, and I think there's potential there. I have a soft spot for Robles, for Luis Robles, obviously, but
obviously,
I feel like he's not.
Oh, you New Yorkers
not,
do.
Yeah,
that's right.
But
I saw
him in
Chris,
those friendlies.
He's
good with club, maybe country's not quite his thing, so I kind of put up with that. But Raimondo, I think, was going to be out there, like that would have been a good look. And I agree with you on Jesse Gonzalez. I really want to see what he has on the international level.
Hey, listen, Chris. Absolutely. Chris, let me tell you something right now. I let you wax poetically about Darlington Nagbe. You can give her and me an opportunity with Robles, all right? So you calm
wax
down
poetically,
over there.
Please. By all means, wax poetically.
Dan knows how I feel about almost the entire New York Red Bull squad. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Believe me, she knows everything going on over there. I don't doubt her for a minute. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Chris, I mean, I would like to see what Jesse Gonzalez can do, and because, you know, he is now officially a member of the U.S. men's national team as he switched from part of the Mexican Football Federation to now the U.S. soccer. And I think we've said this during the Gold Cup preview show with Kardik, you and me, Chris, is that right now, keeper, which used to be such a great, strong spot for the national team, there's a lot of questions going on with that one right now, because you can't keep on, you know, relying on Tim Howard, because one day it's going to be over, that he's not going to – this probably will be his last World Cup if they qualify for Russia. Guzan is a question mark. A couple of other keepers are question marks, and we don't know how they do in the international stage, Chris.
Yeah, yep, exactly. You know, there was an interesting comment, I think. I don't know if it was somebody from the Fox Sports desk or if it was one of the announcers, but you know, somebody talked about Arena having trust in players, and I'd actually throw it back, you know, specifically right at Arena. Fear of change, not trust of players. I mean, we've seen Zusi with the U.S. men's national team for the last 5 or 6 years, as well as Beisler, Gonzalez, Bedoya. And, you know, trust or is it fear of change in getting those players to move on and bringing in new blood and recognizing that you're going to have a drop-off for a year or two because you're going to play new blood, new players, and you're not going to keep throwing out the same old thing.
Yeah, I agree there.
And,
I mean, there's got to be something there.
That had a lot to do with a lot of the angst that people had with Klinsmann, too. I mean, he brought in, you know, touches of one or two new players. But, you know, that's not good enough, I don't think, if we're going to make ourselves a powerhouse in 2 to 3 years. You You can't keep holding on to the past.
Yeah. So that's the one thing I think that's right now that's plaguing this national team currently. And who is available, who's not, you know, who's looking good on the radar and who might not get an opportunity. And once again, and I will agree with what Landon Donovan said on the broadcast, Silvana, is that we haven't seen an instinctive striker that can go on the pitch and try to be, you know, a little coy, try to challenge the back line, maybe challenge the keeper when he's one-on-one. We haven't seen that. And if I can just throw this out there to both of you, I don't know if you watched the matches that were in Red Bull Arena last night, especially the Canadian French Guiana match. I think right now Alphonso Davies, and he's only 16. He's playing for the Vancouver Whitecaps. But you just have to say it. That kid has that type of instincts that I think that maybe Dom Dwyer can provide, because right now you're wondering about Jozy Altidore, you know, how much longer does he have for the national team? We already know about Clint Dempsey, about, you know, maybe his days might be coming to an end very soon. Bobby Wood might be that guy. He's got pure speed for him. But, you know, if you got a kid like Alphonso Davies of Vancouver and for Canada, and how he took on French Guiana, I understand French Guiana is not a top side. But once again, if you're Canada, you're playing them like they are a top side, because Canada hasn't done much either. And it looks like Davies could be that player that could be challenging against other oppositions within CONCACAF. What do you think about that, Silvana?
I like the idea that Davies is going out there, and he's 16, and I think we latch on to that really quickly, because, you know, you've heard everything about Christian Pulisic, and we're looking at Jordan Morris and Christian Pulisic and trying to say, hey, we've got our magic too, but now's not the time. You know, give him a chance to rest, go back to Bundesliga, and continue, and then we'll bring him in for these World Cup qualifiers. We'll bring him in for the World Cup. We'll see the creativity there. I think Dom Dwyer definitely has that creativity, and, you know, we have to look at it as a transition, how we're going to move on from Jozy Altidore, from Michael Bradley even. So, and that's great, and I think I want to bring that back to what we saw with the Confederations Cup with Germany and everybody calling them the B team. I think Rob Stone was the one who said that they're called the prospect squad, not the B team. They're the ones that are waiting in the wings. They are going to be the next step. And when you can see that, you know, they're U23s, they're U21s, they're younger teams are building towards that senior team dominance. That's what we want. You know, we don't want one or two. We want 10. You know, I want 5 Timo Werners available, not just one. You know, I feel like we have one Christian Pulisic, and we just want to see a development of so many. And there's no reason why in a country like ours we can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is.
it's
called
coach,
fear of change. It's called trust.
That's right.
Or misuse, trust. Misinterpretation of fear of change. You know, it's like, okay, our country's huge, and the population for soccer is so large that, you know, I really wonder why we have one U23 team. We should have 4.
Mm-hmm.
Northwest, Southwest, Northeast, and Southeast.
Right.
And they should play against each other. And the whole system should be set up like that, based upon geographic location. And then you develop players together, so you're not always having a mishmash of one player from here, one player from there, because Like you mentioned, Pulisic is out, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
So Okay, what does the insertion of Pulisic into that lineup do to increase the effectiveness of Dom Dwyer?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yeah, or Kellen Rowe. Or Kellen Acosta. I mean,
one player like that can
make such a difference to other young players that are really good in possession. And like we talked earlier about Kellen Acosta, I'd offer he felt the weight of this game on his shoulders. And he pressed, as in mentally pressed, too much during this game.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't allow himself to play the game of football. I saw more often than not the football on the pitch was playing him.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that in young players, that the game plays them, they don't play the game.
I would agree with that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and if a player like Pulisic is on the pitch, it gives Acosta a little bit more breathing room, or maybe a player like Nagby gives Acosta a little bit more breathing room. So he actually would show better with two of those players on the pitch. So, you know, this gets back to, okay, can I really judge how effective Acosta is when he's playing with Beisler, Gonzalez, and McCarty, and Corona? I can't.
No, you're right.
I can't as a head coach. I can't do that. I can't draw a conclusion piecemeal.
Mm-hmm. No, and I agree with you there.
The United States constantly does that. And it's like, that's not what it's all about. Germany is the boilerplate of success. And you would have thought Klinsmann would have learned from that too, because he came from Germany, obviously, but he doesn't. So,
no.
You know, if you're going to play four new players, play 11.
Mm-hmm.
Let them all learn to fail together as a team.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
once again, that's fine.
Somebody tweeted that the Klinsmann haters would be freaking out after this game. And you know what? For me, I didn't fancy Klinsmann as the head coach ever, especially after the World Cup of 2014. And I'm actually more disappointed in this game with these players than I was with Klinsmann.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Once again, this is the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, special Gold Cup postgame show, USA-Panama finishing up a 1-1 draw. Some positives, some negatives. Once again, I am with Silvana Budashine from MLSfemale.com, Chris Gluck from the Yellow Card Podcast, as well as his Possession with Purpose. Here's something I want to pass along, and this is from everyone knows her, especially Silvana. It comes from Ariel Castillo from MLSsoccer.com. Bruce Arena, this is her tweet. Bruce Arena not mincing words or making excuses in that presser. And the quote is, "I think we were a poorly coached team today." So Chris, he agrees with you. He does agree with you. And I think this is where I think you have to applaud Bruce Arena. Because Silvana, in the past, and as well, Chris, and we'll go Silvana first and then Chris second. Bruce, with Jurgen Klinsmann, if the game plan did not work to how it should have been done on the pitch, he would have thrown everybody under the bus. Not so with Bruce Arena, because at least he admitted, yes, I didn't do a good job either. At least he admits that the game plan against Panama did not live up to his standards, and he has said it himself that I didn't do a good job with this match today. Silvana first, and then we go to Chris.
I saw that tweet as well, and I like that idea that he is saying it. And it's not just because that's what we would want to hear. I feel like I always say that my context for a lot of this stuff comes from what I'm seeing on Twitter and other social media. The idea that Klinsmann would have said, oh, you know, he didn't play well, they, you know, the team didn't do what they were supposed to do, was, you know, an idea that Klinsmann knew what he was doing and couldn't possibly have done anything wrong. And if you don't know what I'm doing, it's just because I'm above your level. Like, I don't know, you don't get me. And Bruce Arena is definitely not that. And that's kind of what we want out of him. As far as saying it's a poorly coached team, poorly coached game, rather, fine. You know what? You've got to do something about that. You know, we can't look at each other and go, oh, he's right, okay, let's go home. You know, there's got to be more to it. So what do you do different? Where do you go? Do you change the lineup? Do you change the formation? What are you doing to make this better? You know, we understand enough of soccer to want to know what you're doing. So go and do.
Go ahead, Chris.
You know, I've always liked Arena because he's usually honest and forthright, and he's, you know, I did an article about Caleb Porter, you know, a hot seat in Portland that got some attention out here out west, and one of the things that I said was criticize in private and praise in public. And if you're going to criticize in public, it better be yourself. And that's what Arena's done. And that, to me, showed the brass balls that he didn't have to start the game with 11 new faces, not a mix of both. A complete blend of, well, it was margarine and butter mixed together. And I don't think the recipe ever calls for margarine and butter together. And so him criticizing himself in public, I think, calls himself out, and I think that's a good thing. The one thing that I would offer is that Dwyer, to me, and I'm hesitant to say this, but I think Dwyer, to me, will start and play every single World Cup qualifier, and if they make it to the World Cup, he'll start and play in the World Cup. He is a great hold-up striker, forward, mm-hmm. and he's a great positional player, and there is just no way Altidore is better than him, nor Wood, nor mm-hmm. any other player that the U.S. could muster as a center forward. Dwyer should start, and I hope does start.
And look at this, guys. Two straight matches with a goal. I mean, how much more can you ask of Dom Dwyer to go out there and to perform at not just, you know, a regular match in MLS, but on the international level right now? Two straight matches with a goal. You can't ask for more. I would like to think maybe he gets a little more service. I would like to see him, maybe Savanna, with a striker partner, maybe with Dempsey up top or Dempsey withdrawn, and you have Dwyer as your target striker. But I like to see the midfield try to give Dwyer maybe a couple more chances out there. I didn't think he had enough opportunities when the ball presented to him from the midfield. Savanna.
Yeah, I really like Dwyer out there. You know, he's on fire, two games, two goals. I think that's amazing. It's what he's wanted for so long that, you know, he's not giving up that moment, this moment that he has, this opportunity. And we want to make sure, I want to see that every player has that. And I know, like, for example, Dax McCarty gave an interview where he said, I hope I give a good performance every time I step out there. I'm representing my country, you know, the best possible way. And I'm not sure I saw that today, but I have seen it from him. You know, so Dwyer up top, I like the idea of having Dempsey out there, but I'm not sure how much longer he's got. somebody else has to be in there. I think when you get to the point where you can bring Pulisic back in, when you can get Jordan Morris developed in an international setting, you're going to have options. You're going to have depth, and you know, that's something exciting to look forward to.
And Chris, I'm not trying to pile on Dax McCarty at all, Chris, but I wanted to ask you this, but Chris, about Dax. I
like Dax.
No, I like Dax too. Don't get me wrong. I like
Dax.
Oh,
me too.
When he was with the absolutely. You know, we didn't want to see the trade really shocked every Red Bull supporter, that I know, and that's still being discussed on social media, you know, no matter how right or how wrong it was. But I just want to say, and like I said, I'm not piling on, I'm trying to be objective as much as possible. Dax has not been on the national team in a competitive match. And not saying friendlies are not competitive, but it's not at the level of where it's a true, a tournament match like the Gold Cup, like the World Cup. And, you know, when you are picking players for your final 23, either it's in a World Cup qualifier or the World Cup itself, if you qualify for it, Chris, I just felt like Dax lost the ball a little bit too much for my liking. And I'm not trying to pile on him. I'm glad he finally is into a tournament setting in the Gold Cup here. I just felt that he just lost the ball a little bit more than normal for what McCarty were used to seeing from him in MLS play.
Yeah, so in this game he did, as well as Acosta, as did some others. And I'll go back to the second, the between halves statement by Arena. And if he actually said that to his players, we need to play the ball quicker, we need quicker passes, we need to move the ball quicker up the pitch. Like he said in the post game, he said it was a poorly coached game. And when you've got players on the pitch that are not familiar with playing with each other, and they're pressing, and they're trying to play quicker because the coach asked them to play quicker, they're going to be less accurate. Now, there's no excuse for Gonzalez making poor passes. No excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no excuse for Zusi or Beisler or Villafania because they're defenders. They don't have to play the ball quick. But if you're asking the central midfielders to play the ball quicker and Panama is pressing in the midfield and not giving you space, and there aren't players surrounding you that have a great first touch, chances are you're going to lose possession of the ball. Poorly coached game. And so you got Corona, who didn't show a good first touch at all, didn't show positional awareness at all. Bedoya, who played out wide, but he's not fast. I don't get that. Zusi's not fast, and he had a number of overlaps. Was caught out of position a number of times. Gonzalez is slow, and Panama is quick. So, to me, I think actually it's a great result that the U.S. ended up with a 1-1 draw. They could have lost that game 3 or 4 to 1.
Absolutely.
And you can thank Guzan for having great positional play, which the coach probably had nothing whatsoever to do with. Because Guzan is coached by a goalkeeper coach, right?
That's right. So you give him the plaudits.
Exactly.
You give the goalkeeper coach the plaudits. Why not? Guzan. I mean, the only thing I have a problem with Guzan, not to go back to Brad or anything like that.
He's not
told though. No, I wouldn't go there. That's your problem, not mine. But the point is, the positioning, he does a good job with positioning. That's true. His decision-making can leave your head scratching because I go back to the Copa America Centenario semifinal match against Argentina. He puts himself all the time into no man's land, and then, either he gets chipped or, he's too much on one side of the field and then he gets scored on the other. So, it's his decision-making is what really bothers me at times. That's all. Other than that, positioning-wise, he's fantastic. But decision-making is, I believe, one of his weaknesses that he really needs to fix for himself and make sure you read the match or you read the game, you read where the ball is going to be properly, and then you don't put yourself into that position. But other than that, I do agree about Bedoya Silvana is that he is not quick enough on the wings, on the international level. I just feel like while you got toughness out of him, and you're not questioning that, but when you've got a guy who's on the wings, whether he's attacking with the ball or he's coming back to help to defend with the ball, you know, I just feel like he's just not at the level where he should be. And I do agree with Chris on that one because I just don't know if Bedoya can do enough right now on how he has played so far in this match or even for the national team in the past couple of matches. What do you see there, Silvana?
I'm not crazy about Bedoya myself, and I felt like the whole game was Panama was just playing so much wider than the U.S. And every time I saw that, I saw them, you know, moving up the right-hand side of the field, I'm like, where is everybody? They're all caught inside. And, you know, I think Bedoya was a big part of that. He was trying, you know, he's trying to cut in or receive from somebody, and, you know, there's nobody there to, you know, it was just sloppy. You know, I haven't been for a while crazy about Bedoya. You know, and I know that's just me and, you know, and Eric.
No, it's not.
But, we're definitely, you know,
you're not alone.
I agree with him on this. And I think you guys said this before. He doesn't have the creativity. He doesn't have that urgency, you know, in the attacking third. I didn't see it today.
Yeah.
That's the
one thing I think we're hearing. Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right there. And so right now, just to give an update on this other Group B matchup between Martinique and Nicaragua. Once again, we are in the 25th minute. It's still 0-0 between the two sides. And, of course, whoever wins this match will lead the group for a couple of days before the next one, which will be on Wednesday night. Over in Tampa Bay, Florida, over at Raymond James Stadium, home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the National Football League. Martinique will take on the United States, while Panama will be facing against Nicaragua. But right now, USA, Panama in the group, in Group B, 1 point each, 1-1 on the scoreline. And currently, as we're still analyzing this one, you know, I thought Juan Agudelo did a decent job. Nothing great. I thought Giassi Zardes also did an okay job. Nothing great. Jordan Morris tried to be active with the amount of time that was remaining for him. But I will say this. There's two more matches, and obviously this is not the match you had to worry so much. Or so we actually say you didn't have to have a lot of pressure on you just to see if you can survive this one against Panama, because once again, guys, Martinique, Nicaragua, these are the games you have to destroy them. These are the games that you have to go and just tell them, welcome to the Gold Cup, but at the same time, say goodbye. Right, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah. you know, we haven't talked to subs. And maybe it's just me, and I guess maybe it has been just me in this game until Arena's post-game presser. But, you know, I've never been a firm believer in subbing one player at a time when the game's a draw or you're behind or you're ahead, because rarely does one player make a formation change. And so I kind of wondered why we saw the subs come in as they did. I thought it was disjointed. Agudelo came in 10 minutes basically before Zardes, who came in 15 minutes before Morris. And so you're not changing anything. You're just changing a player, really, I think. And okay, Agudelo's a new face, but Zardes, I think he's the victim of an overhyping MLSsoccer.com. And I think Jordan Morris is a victim of overhyping MLSsoccer.com. And dare I be redundant again, I think Juan Agudelo is also a victim of overhype MLSsoccer.com. You know, I think there's plenty of other players out there that are young, that are new faces, that probably could have afforded a better opportunity in this Gold Cup. It's a shame Zalelem's injured. I think he could have done well being there. And I'm sure there's a couple, two or three others. Isn't there a striker for Atlanta? What's his name, Martinez?
Yeah. Almirón Martinez. Well, he's Paraguayan. That's the thing. He's Paraguayan.
Oh, okay.
But he's, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, we'd love to see that happen on the changeover of the one-time changeover. We can try and steal Almirón Martinez from Paraguay and play for the U.S. national team. That would be probably the best get this program has ever had when you're talking about switching sides. That's for sure. That's a dream come true. But how did you feel, Savannah, on the substitutes playing in this match? I thought, like I said, I thought they did all right. Nothing major, nothing, you know, nothing earth-shattering. But I thought they did a decent job when they had the ball and when they tried to defend.
Yeah, I was surprised by the Zardes trade out. I think that was just for injury. You know, Kellen Acosta, was it? Had to go out.
Uh-huh.
And
Rowe.
So
it wasn't a formation.
Rowe.
Kellen
Rowe, sorry. I felt like that was more forced than tactical. So just to get somebody else out there. Morris is doing fine. I like him very much. I think he does some great stuff. He's not scoring as much as we hoped he would this season for the Sounders, but he's still growing, you know. So I want to see him out there, and I think getting some more time, maybe even getting a start at some point, would do a lot for him, you know, rather than trying to be some sort of last minute switch up at the end of near the end of a game, especially when you're tied. It's like, you know, if you want him out there to make a difference, put him out there, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you guys there, obviously, and we'll keep on going here and talking about this matchup. But actually, let's just go forward with the next match. And, of course, that's once again going to be the United States against Martinique in Group B play. Obviously, not much needs to be said on what the U.S. needs to do. Score goals, fill the net, let Martinique know that they're not going to have a good evening down in Tampa Bay. But with what we have said today from the starting 11, who was available as substitutes coming into the match, we'll go Silvana first, then we'll go to Chris. Silvana, who would you like to see in the starting 11 in the next match? Should Bruce Arena change things up, different faces on whoever subbed in this matchup? Should they be starting? And Silvana first, and then Chris.
I'm not sure. I'm thinking about that. I don't see us needing, you know, some of our headliners out there at this point against Martinique. I think what they need to do is just play smarter. You know, maybe not necessarily even faster. I get what Bruce Arena was trying to say today, but if you can just play more efficiently. I felt like that was what was happening. You know, we were falling apart a little bit in that midfield, and if we could keep that, and consistency would kind of be nice at this point. If we could just put them out there and say, do what you're doing, but smarter. You know, if you can move that ball, if you can play to the outside, if you can, you know, even a little bit of that high press that I'm such a big fan of, you know, push that out there and have them attack, have more of an attack, more of an anger, more of a chip on the shoulders that it would make a difference. It's the same people doing more, doing, you know, working smarter and harder, and not scrambling all over the field, because that's what it looked like, so much overlap and so much, scrambling side to side instead of pushing forward.
Chris?
Yeah, you know, I'll start with the CDMs. I think Acosta and Roldan ought to get the head nod to start. They're both young, and if you're going to bleed them together. Don't bleed them separate. And as much as I like McCarty, he's past his prime. His prime was when he played for the Red Bulls right after he got traded by the Timbers, or moved by the Timbers. So I'd like to see Roldan and Acosta playing in the 4-2-3-1 as the bucket, if you will. And as far as the wings, I'd like to see Ariola and Rowe working together to spread the pitch on the left and the right. And okay, so I'm convinced about Dwyer, so I'm not convinced about Agudelo yet. So I think he'd be good as a lone striker up top. The back four I think should be Lehigh, Hedges, Miazga, and Morrow. I think we really need to put to rest Zuzi, Gonzalez, Beisler, Bedoya, Corona. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but you know the sooner those guys are, and you hate to say it because they've provided quality for their MLS teams or their other teams in Mexico or wherever else they play, and you know no player goes out on the pitch and doesn't give 110%. But sometimes when a player gives 110%, it actually works against you. And I think sometimes McCarty's like that. He's a bit like Diego Chará. He's a crusher. He's a killer in the center. But if you overplay, you actually can create havoc with your team. So you got to have the right balance. And I think the sooner Acosta and Roldan work together, if Rodan's the solution to pair with Acosta for the future, then the better. I like Nagby as a holding midfielder for the U.S. men's national team over playing the left or the right. And I think Nagby is a far better player on the ball when you're looking at the World Cup than Bradley. That's kind of how I see things, and Nagby can blend with any player because he's a connector. I don't see Bradley blending with any player because he's not a connector. So, young-wise, that's kind of how I'd set stuff up. But if Dwyer starts, you know, I'm okay with that, but it's a short rest. And I think he's shown he's a great hold-up player. I think they quoted Arena as saying he was surprised at how well he was at holding the ball up. I don't know if that's a compliment to Dwyer or if that's Arena digging himself for not realizing it earlier.
Probably.
But, yeah, so that's kind of my 10. And then Johnson, Hermid, I don't care. Give either one the chance to fail.
Yeah, why not? We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But listen, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know Chris was the last
thank
minute
you
thing.
For
thank
the
you so
invite,
much for coming
Daniel.
On. No problem at all. Silvana, I know you'll be joining me on Wednesday. We're going to have Nipun Chopra with us Wednesday night in the post-match against Martinique in the United States. But definitely, Chris, we'll have you on again more towards the knockout stages because we got to see how this U.S. national team fares against some of these big-time games. But listen, guys, thank you again for coming on. I really do appreciate it. You have a good evening. You have a good late afternoon yourself, Chris, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Great to meet you, Silvana.
Nice to meet you, too.
Take
care.
All
right, guys. Thank you very much.
Bye, Daniel.
Bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, this has been your Gold Cup USA versus Panama postgame show. Once again, it is a 1-1 draw between the United States and Panama. Dom Dwyer gets the goal for the United States, and then it was Camargo who gets the equalizer for Panama. Currently, Martinique up 1-0 on Nicaragua as they have a lead here, but Nicaragua is attacking. Once again, thanks to Silvana Budensheim and Chris Gluck. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Talk to you on Wednesday night. No regular show this coming Monday. Have a good night. And as always, please enjoy your football. Bye-bye for now.